Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. I wonder if you've ever heard the saying, "Don't be such a Jeremiah." Have you heard that, some of you? And that means, don't be a gloomy pessimist. Look on the bright side instead. Well, poor Jeremiah, the Old Testament prophet, who we read about in our first reading today, usually has a bad press. And I have to confess that if I'm going to choose between two readings, and one of them is Jeremiah, then I might avoid it. Too gloomy, I think. Or was Jeremiah just a realist? Well, we have enough gloom, don't we? If we think about our contemporary situation and what we are being exposed to through relentless media bulletins and pictures, political intrigue and secrets, aggressive acts by people at all levels of society, violence abroad as well as at home, and constant distractions through social media. And all around us, the suffering of the poor and the dispossessed. Of course, chaotic times such as these are not new in the history of the world. Chaotic times were not new to the prophet Jeremiah either. Now, you might remember, if you were here last week, that I gave you a quick overview of the different genres, the literary styles in the Bible, and we considered the passionate poetic prophet Isaiah, who actually comes before Jeremiah in our scriptures. Well, we have another passionate poetic prophet today in Jeremiah. Now, I have some news for you. We have about 7 weeks on Sundays of the prophet Jeremiah, starting today in our Sunday lectionary. So that might be, well, a bit of a bad news for you. But I thought we should not avoid him. And seeing today was the first day of Jeremiah, I want to focus on him because he's a major prophet in Israel's history. So let us consider what his prophecies reveal about God's heart in relationship to us. Now, just going a bit ahead, God's heart of love will also emerge in the gospel story today in Jesus' compassionate reaching out to a burdened woman who is suffering. Now, I'm not going to do Hebrews today, like I briefly mentioned last week. It is such a difficult reading, is it not? So I can't do all the difficult readings today, and some of you are shaking your head and agreeing with me, so that is good. So a bit about Jeremiah. Jeremiah was born about the middle of the 7th century BCE. Now, I did try to add that up. I think my maths was nearly correct. That was about 2,675 years ago. That's Jeremiah. And he lived through to the end of the times of the kings of Judah. International political structures were collapsing around Judah, where Jeremiah lived. There were battles. There were powerful leaders warring against each other. Does that sound familiar? Yeah. Well, today we heard how Jeremiah is called by God to be a prophet to Judah, the kings and the people during troubled times. God took the initiative with Jeremiah. Jeremiah didn't put his hand up and say, "Hey, God, will you choose me?" No. What God says is, and it's very surprising, I knew you before you were even formed in the womb, and before you were born. That is, I've known you for a long time, and I've had a plan for you for a long time. Now, this knowing by God, does this remind you of a couple of those verses in Psalm 71 that we heard the choir sing today? You are he that brought me out of my mother's womb. And it's reminiscent of those beautiful verses in that lovely Psalm 139, where the psalmist says to God, "For it was you who formed my inward parts. You knit me together in my mother's womb. In your book were written all the days that were formed for me, when none of them has yet existed." So what does this say about God's heart in relationship to us? We'll come back to that. So what does Jeremiah say in response? Now, often people who are called by God in the scriptures we read it and in the church, they object. They protest. A personal note, in 2017, I said to God, when I re-experienced a call to be ordained, so just 8 years ago, I said, "But I'm too old now." Well, I'm still here, aren't I? So that's good. Well, Jeremiah, on the other hand, says, "I'm only a boy." So he was objecting because he felt he was too young. But God reassures, "Do not be afraid, for I am with you." We actually hear more than 100 times in the Bible, we hear God say, "Do not be afraid, fear not. God cares about our fear." Now, there is a wonderful image next in the book of Jeremiah. In a very intimate action, God touches Jeremiah's mouth. Not only reassurance, but also, "I am putting my words in your mouth. You speak for me." Well, subsequently, Jeremiah began what was to be a 40-year-long prophetic activity from about 627 BCE, and he was starting in his 20s. This was during the time of the reforming King Josiah in the southern kingdom of Judah. Now, his career, if we call it that, took place in one of the most chaotic times in ancient Israel's history. By the time King Josiah died, there was chaos in Jerusalem. International political structures were collapsing, as I said, and this was challenging established social and religious beliefs. So it was no good just to reiterate orthodox beliefs. A new spiritual approach was needed. So Jeremiah, really what he's given by God is not an easy task. It's thoroughly unenviable. He's to stand in opposition to the kings, the royal house of David, and announce the coming destruction of Jerusalem and urge them to accept exile in Babylon if they are to live and hope for the future. So why was God angry with them? Because the kings and the peoples had turned their back on God, and they turned towards idols. They were worshipping and serving the god Baal. As Hebrew scholar Walter Brueggemann pithily puts it, "There are glazed eyes all around. They are deceiving themselves. They are in denial of the reality of the situation." So they don't listen to God's appeals via Jeremiah. They resist, turn away. So yes, there will be judgment. But there will also be rebuilding and replanting in hope. And we have that last phrase in that last sentence of the reading from Jeremiah. There will be replanting. Now, can you imagine how difficult this would have been for Jeremiah through 40 long years? He has to speak God's words that come from God's heart. And God's heart is full of pain because God cannot bear the faithlessness of the people. But God also has a compassionate, a loving heart that longs for a restored relationship with them. And can you imagine Jeremiah's holding all this inside himself? So right through the book of Jeremiah, we hear the vulnerability of God in the expression of a desire for relationship and the aching pain of that lost relationship with God's people. And Jeremiah is absorbing this and communicating it with yearning. Now, Jeremiah hopes to penetrate the numbness of the people through a public presentation of grief. His lament and grief and his actions are crucial demonstrations of God's aching heart. You see, Jeremiah doesn't just speak. He actually performs, like an actor in a play, but he's a solitary actor. He does what we might call these days object lessons for the people. Now, sadly, ultimately, Jerusalem is taken over by the Babylonians and burns. Now, that won't be the end for Jerusalem. King Cyrus of Persia will reverse things, but that's down the track. Now, have you been to the Rijk Museum in Amsterdam? Because if you have, you may have seen a wonderful painting by Rembrandt, 1630 painting. And it depicts Jeremiah sitting on a rock, dejectedly, with a picture of Jerusalem in the background, burning. Jerusalem is weary, alone, bearing the grief of seeing his beloved Jerusalem burn. I wonder what current figure in the world that makes you think of. Dejected for his people. Well, we are confronted in the painting with Jeremiah's contemplative despair, his infinite sadness, deeply felt regret, the very emotions of the God who has called him and who is with him. God is always with us. Now, it's been said that there is a wound in the heart of God. Someone who lived this, you may remember the martyred Archbishop Oscar Romero from El Salvador. And it's been said of him, the poor broke his heart and the wound never closed. Of course, he was tragically murdered, martyred. However, expressions of grief are also expressions of hope. When we express lament, as many of the Psalms do, even when it's mixed with anger about a broken relationship, this allows for the hopeful energy of transformative action. And of course, as I said, through Jeremiah, six times, rebuilding and replanting is mentioned. This is what God does, rebuilds and replants. And that will ultimately occur. Now, I'm just moving to Luke's reading, to the Gospel, where again we see divine compassion leading to restoration and hope. So Jesus sees a woman who is weighed down and burdened, oppressed indeed. Jesus takes the initiative. Why? Because he is moved by compassion. He calls her over, touches her, frees her. And of course, the fact that he does this on the Sabbath scandalizes those who stick rigidly to rules and forget about mercy. Jesus acts outside the rules, and this is scandalous. So, the compassion of Jesus is the movement within him that motivates to action. And I've mentioned this before, but compassion is a word we hear time and time again in both Old and New Testaments. Compassion, that means from the Latin, to suffer with. And there is a New Testament Greek word that I've tried to pronounce before, and I'm going to try to pronounce it again. Splagnithomai. Now, does that sound like compassion, like the bowels and the guts? A feeling, a gut-wrenching feeling of compassion for another's suffering. And we hear this in Luke's Gospel time and time again by Jesus. Literally, the bowels, the guts of Jesus move. They yearn with pity. This is not just about sympathy or pity. It is about a deep, gut-wrenching emotional response. So, Jesus does take the initiative with us also and looks at us with compassion. I wonder what Jesus sees when he looks at us. Have you ever wondered about that? It's worth contemplating. Is there any way in which any of us are suffering at the moment or feeling burdened? Let us bring that to Jesus. The 14th century mystic Julian of Norwich said, "Love is his meaning." And when we know that love is God's meaning towards us, then somehow we can breathe again. We can hope. Hope springs again within us through the Holy Spirit. Amen.